Thank you, Jonathan. Wonderful message. Wonderful songs of worship this morning. And I needed that this morning because I'm about to preach the word and I'm excited now. But what I'm about to preach is a little tough to preach sometimes because we're going to read a really short piece of scripture this morning. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to truly open your heart and truly open your mind this morning, man, this piece of scripture is going to make you squirm in your seat. When writing this sermon this week, I prayed over it many, many times because the Lord had me squirming in my seat in my office, thinking about what God expects from us and thinking about my own shortcomings in what God's asking us to do here in 1 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles, certainly look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 22, and if you have your highlighter or your pen, you're going to want to highlight this one. It's not a promise from God, but it's an instruction from God. And it's a very important instruction from God because it kind of lays down the foundation of where our hearts should be in relationship with God. And so I ask you this morning to just allow the Holy Spirit to chew on your heart a little bit this morning. And really, by the end of the sermon, let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and open our eyes to where we are in our purity. I named the sermon Purity. And hear this before I speak. We're not talking about just sexual purity here this morning. There's a lot of areas in our life that God has called us to be pure and stay pure in. And we're going to talk about this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 simply says, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." Highlight that real big. Three words. Keep yourself pure. That is a huge instruction from God Himself. God says we are to keep ourselves pure. Like I said, that doesn't just mean sexually. That is one of a thousand things that we need to stay pure in. To be pure means literally to be unmixed with any other matter, to be free of anything that would taint. Well, that's huge. You let that sink in for just a second. To remain pure, to not allow anything of this world to taint you in your purity in front of God. God expects us to be holy. Several times in the New Testament, God says, "Be holy, because I am holy." What He's calling us is to be separated from anything that would defile us outside of God. We are to remain in Him, not in the world. We're certainly in the world, but we are certainly not of the world. And we are to have pure minds, pure hands, and pure hearts at all times. And that is tough. If you just let that sink in for a little bit, you're going to squirm a little bit. Because none of us are there yet when it comes to purity. Purity of the heart, purity of the mind, purity of the hands, of what we do all the time. You think of everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, all day long, every day, all week long. Are we pure in all of that? The problem is that we live in a time in which Christians, as the bride of Christ, have allowed our wedding garments to become soiled, and we've allowed ourselves to be defiled before God. And our three greatest enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, have amassed their attacks, seeking to defile us and to make us as dirty as possible in front of God. And it happens sometimes without us even realizing it. Dirty is that which is not clean or pure. It's the opposite of purity. Contaminated with the impurities, that which is inappropriate before God. And we need to be on guard against that all the time. I catch myself reading the news, reading social media, and the things that are going on. Greg mentioned a few of those things in his communion meditation. It's very easy to get caught up on that and caught up on what's wrong with those people? What's wrong with those Democrats? What's wrong with those Republicans? Why are they making this? Why are they not doing that? And you know, just because Greg mentioned a couple laws that have come into law this last year. Just because something is in law and lawful doesn't mean we have to partake in it. We can be careful with just because same-sex marriage is law now, just because abortion is now legal up to the 9th month or at birth, horrific, horrific laws being made, doesn't mean to give up now in purity. That's more opportunity now to share the gospel message that you don't have to partake in that. One of our greatest missions we have is Heartbeat and Starting Point. There's laws out there, yes, that it's legal to do those things, but they're telling you don't have to do that. You don't have to abort your baby. There's other ways that God has opened up other doors for you to obey and to remain pure. And the question is, well, how can I be pure? I've already messed up. I got a baby that I don't want. God makes a way for that, too, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's our job to share that opportunity to be pure in front of people instead of just having hearts of anger and hearts of rage and hearts of hatred of people. How can we let this happen? How can our government let this happen? And just let that chew on us and chew on us and chew on us where we're not doing ministry. Yeah, there's evil out there, folks. God's called us in the midst of all that evil for us to remain pure in all areas of our lives so that we can go into the world and be a witness and be that light and that salt that Jesus has asked us to be. So I want to talk about three areas of our lives real quick that I find in the New Testament especially and a lot in the Old Testament when you get into Psalms and Proverbs there. Areas where God has called us to remain pure when we are out there in the world. And number one is God has called us to a purity of mind. In other words, we are to have a clean thought life. If I were to ask you, do you have a dirty mind? How would you answer? Now don't forget, I'm not talking just sexual here. Do you have a dirty mind? Anything in your mind that taints you and doesn't allow you to stand pure in front of a holy God? You think about everything you think about, and the way you think about those during the day. Is your anger holy anger? Is it the anger? Are you get angry about what God gets angry about? Or do you just get angry about because you don't like the way so-and-so is doing something, or the government's doing something, or the people at work are doing something? Or is it a godly anger? The things you get upset about, the things God gets upset about. In your marriage relationships, are your thoughts and your actions and your mind toward your spouse always pure, thinking about them, honoring them, uplifting them? In your friendship relationships, same thing. Church relationships, co-worker relationships out in the community. Do you have a dirty mind or is it pure? Before you consider what your answer would be, remember the definition of dirty. Dirty is that, simply that which is not pure. You think about that for just a couple seconds. Some of you are probably going to squirm in your seat. Man, I did in my office. When you just think about what you think about all day long. Would you think that way about things? Would you think that way about people with Jesus sitting right next to you? Well, let me tell you, Jesus is sitting closer than right next to you. His Holy Spirit is living and breathing inside of you. What do you think he thinks about some of those thoughts that go into your head sometimes and you dwell on them sometimes? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked into the hearts of men at that time. And he says everything they think about is evil, which means their hearts were far from God. Is your heart in constant worship of God all day long? Everything you think about. Boy, I believe if they were, our relationship with God would be totally different. Our relationship with our spouses would be totally different. Our relationship with our children, our friends, our coworkers, our brothers and sisters in the church. Things would happen a lot different if everything we were thinking about was glorifying God. You see, a dirty mind is a mind that has been tainted by and entertains thoughts that are inappropriate in any way for a Christian. Any way. Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God." This is a huge prayer. And don't pray this prayer unless you are ready for the Holy Spirit to make some changes in your life. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That is a huge prayer to wake up in the morning. Anytime you invite the Holy Spirit to search me, he's going to find things. And the reason why people have a hard time allowing God to search their hearts is that's going to require change. Am I really ready for the Holy Spirit to make some changes in my mind, the way I think about things, the way I think about people, the way I think about church, the way I think about my community, the way I think about my government, the way I think about the world I live in? Am I seeing things through the eyes of Jesus or through the eyes of men? Psalms 101 verse 3 says, "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it." Can any of us stand before a holy God and say that we do that every day? "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile." That includes the movies and TV shows you watch on a weekly basis. That includes the news that you watch on a daily basis. "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile." Think of the things you laugh at sometimes. Think of the things that you find not so bad. If something's not so bad and it has that word bad in it, it's not good. It's not holy. It's not pure. "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile." We sing this little song with our kids when they're probably 1, 2 years old. "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear." Why don't we take that seriously as adults? Man, when I read that scripture this week, I squirmed in my seat thinking about what I listen to, what I watch sometimes, and don't think with criticism, to just be entertained and not look at how God sees the world through that. Watch what you fill your mind with. Pay attention to what you watch on a regular basis. Watch what you listen to. Pay attention to that. And watch what you expose yourself to. What do you allow yourself to be exposed to? Is it healthy? Is it uplifting? Is it going to improve your family life? Is it going to improve your relationship with God? Is it going to improve your relationship with people at work? Or is it just going to bring people down and make you an ugly person in the sight of God? It's amazing how much people love dirt. That's why so much of the news is about dirt. You turn on any channel, I don't care what it's, CNN, Fox News, whatever, your local news, whatever. It's all dirt right now. It's dirt and mudslinging in all directions. You hear it, you see it, you take it into your mind, you picture it, you imagine it. Now your own mind has become dirty as well. because you've now formed ugly opinions about people. And you're no longer seeing people the way God sees people. If you fill it with dirt, the water in your heart and in your mind is going to become filthy. Think of a bathtub. And imagine your mind as being that bathtub. And if you constantly are throwing dirt inside that bathtub, it's going to get filthy and it's going to get muddy. And nobody's going to want to step foot in that. If you fill it only with that which is pure, the water's going to remain clean. So I take you back to that little song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. What are you putting into your mind on a daily basis? That's why God says, fill your mind with my word. Stand on my word in everything you do. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There's a list. God makes it that simple for you. You can sit back and say, well, what am I supposed to think about? God gives me all these things I'm not supposed to think about. What am I supposed to think about? He gives you a list right there. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about that stuff. Nowhere there in that list does it say, think about what's wrong with other people. Think about your spouse's shortcomings. That's not in that list. Think about your coworkers that aren't doing as good of a job as you are doing. That's not in the list. Think with lust about other people's wives or husbands. That's not in that list. Whatever is excellent and whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things. I read this beautiful quote, and I wish I could tell you who the author was. I found it on the internet, and it just simply said, source unknown. So all I can tell you is this is not Joel's quote, but I love the quote. It says, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. How true is that? Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Don't let television, don't let movies, don't let radio, don't let your neighbor infiltrate what you're going to think about or decide what you're going to think about and how you're going to think about it today. Let the master put those things in your heart and in your mind. Which brings us to number two. We've been called by God to have a purity of action, which means we are to have clean hands. And boy, are we taught that at a very young age. Mary is constantly yelling at Jaden, wash your hands. Hey, Jaden, did you go to the bathroom? Did you wash your hands? You eat? Did you wash your hands? You played out on the playground? Did you wash your hands? Over and over. Poor Jaden had to wash his hands 1,000 times every day. Every time he turns around, he has filthy hands, according to Mom. So we're constantly told to have clean hands. Psalms 24, verses 3 through 4, God says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust an idol or swear by a false god. Thanks, moms, for making us have clean hands. God says, who can approach? Who's the one that can approach God? The one who has clean hands. What does that mean? 1 Timothy 5:22, our opening verse this morning. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. If you go into 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let the things you're doing with your hands be exactly what God has called you to do today. If he's called you to serve with those hands today, you better be serving. If he calls you to love with those hands, you better be loving. I guarantee you God has not called you to be idle with your hands today. We are called every day to do something in the name of God. Something praiseworthy of God. How many of you have washed your hands at least once this morning? You can raise your hands. It's 11:30 almost. Everybody washed their hands at least once? Landon, you haven't washed your hands today? Oh, Mom's not home, is she? We're free to do what we want now at the Maddox house. Everyone, of course, you've washed your hands. It's a matter of hygiene. Every single day. Getting rid of germs so that we don't catch or spread disease, it's part of hygiene. We wash our hands. How many spiritual infections do we spread by having unclean hands spiritually in front of a holy God? How many blessings are we holding back because we have dirty hands, hands that will not work for God? How many people are missing out on the blessings of God today because we won't obey and do what God's called us to do? How many of us want to stand before God and say, so-and-so wasn't blessed for the last 10 years because I didn't get involved like you asked me to get involved in their life? So-and-so has no idea the love Jesus Christ has for them because I would not speak and be your voice, to be your hands, to be your feet, Father. I was too embarrassed or I was too weak to do that. Nobody wants to stand before God and have to admit that someday. Psalms 18, 21 through 26. This is what I hope I get to tell Jesus someday. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me accordingly to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the devious you show yourself shrewd. Find it very interesting that right in the middle of that, he says, the Lord has rewarded me accordingly because of my clean hands in his sight. Don't think for a second God doesn't care what you do. We worry so much about being careful with what we think, and that's number one on the list. Because we know God knows what our thoughts. Are we paying attention to our actions on a daily basis? At home, at work, at church, out in the community, wherever we're doing service, are our actions reflecting the heart of God and drawing people to him or deterring people from him? Number three, God's called us to have a purity of heart. This is literally the heart of the whole message. We need cleansed hearts daily. Matthew 5, verse 8, this is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount with, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's one of the first things Jesus preached in that huge Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're the ones that are going to get to see God. You know why they can see God? Because their heart is pure. They can see God in the midst of everything. In the midst of evil going on, they can still see God at work. In the midst of a troubled marriage, they can still see God at work. In the middle of tragedy, in the middle of loss, they can still see God because of their pure hearts. Yes, they will get to see God forever, for eternity, in heaven, but even here on earth, Jesus promises us those with a pure heart will see God in everything and in every situation. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, that's a huge statement, above everything you do here on planet Earth, guard your heart. We think about guarding our children. We think about guarding our families. We think about guarding our church building, making sure it's taken care of, protected. We talk about guarding our country and stuff like that. Jesus is saying, God's saying here, above all that, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. Everything you think, everything you decide to do, and everything you do with your hands, feet, actions, whatever, flows from the heart. Your obedience flows from the heart. Your disobedience flows from the heart. And God says, guard it with everything you got. Mark 7:21-23 says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a defiled person's heart. You take that list from verses 21 through 23, you can pretty much see the Ten Commandments in every one of those. From the Old Testament. You read just the Ten Commandments in Exodus. They are all heart issues. Where is your heart in the middle of sexual immorality? Where is your heart in the middle of stealing from your neighbor? Where is your heart in the middle of murder? And Jesus defines murder as not having to physically kill somebody, but just having hatred in your heart for that person. Because it's a heart issue. The heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person in front of God. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and we decide on things. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The heart is pretty important in the eyes of God. The dirty heart does its own thing. Hear that. The dirty or defiled heart just does its own thing. It does what it wants to do. And God knows that we are all born with our own evil desires. You think about little babies. What are little babies all about? Me, what I want. Why do you think they're screaming and yelling all the time? I want fed. I want changed. I want mommy. I want what? It's all about me. We're born that way. And God knows that. But Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful and wicked, and we need to pay attention to that. And allow the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ to purify our hearts each and every day. I read a story on the internet. I want to share it real quick. It said, one Sunday a man sat through a church service. And then on the way home, he fussed about the sermon. He griped about the traffic. He complained about the heat. And he made a big fuss about how late the lunch meal was served. Then he bowed and prayed, giving thanks to God for the food. Now his little son was watching him all the way through this post-church experience. Just as they were beginning to pass the food, the little boy said, Daddy, did God hear you when we left the church and you started fussing about the sermon and about the traffic and about how hot it is outside? The father blushed and said, well, yes, son. He heard me. Well, Daddy, did God hear you when you just prayed for this food right now? And the dad said, well, yes, son. He heard me. Well, Daddy, which one did God believe? It doesn't matter how good you look on the inside or how good you look on the outside. How's the heart? You can go to church and look like you have everything put together. And then you can get in your car and gripe about everything. I remember growing up, and it was no secret, because I used to tell everybody at church, our biggest family fights were either going to church or going home from church, it seemed like, in the car. Satan's good at what he does. Biggest fights of the whole week were coming or going from church. Why? Because there's heart issues there. Scientists have discovered that every snowflake, I find this very interesting, every snowflake has a tiny piece of dust at its core. Did you know? I didn't know that. I just read that this year. Every beautiful snowflake that falls on the ground has a piece of dust at its core. So every snowflake has a dirty heart. Something beautiful on the outside, something that looks appealing to the eye, is dirty in the center. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, talk about a man with a pure heart. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel cared not what he looked like on the outside, as long as his heart was pure on the inside. That was most important to him. Now, because his heart was pure, Daniel was very appealing on the outside. The Bible describes him as a very attractive man. We know that he was muscular because of the foods that he ate and the way he took care of himself. He was attractive to people also because of the things he said and the things he did. It's all because of the heart on the inside that refused to defile itself. You see, no matter how pure and white new fallen snow may look, you got to know its heart is unclean. That little tiny speck of dust makes that snowflake unclean. Likewise, no matter how good we may look to those around us, and maybe even to ourselves sometimes, it's easy to get impressed with yourself sometimes. God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. When the blood of Christ is applied to the heart, hear this message especially. When you apply the blood of Jesus Christ to the heart, it cleans us from all sin. Even removes that little speck of dust that might be trying to hang on. Not a speck of defilement remains, for God removes every stain and he washes him even whiter than snow. Psalms 51 tells us that. That's how strong the blood of Jesus Christ is. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. If you have a heart that has remained far from God for years and years and years, you have not given up authority in your life to Jesus Christ, we invite you to do that this morning. To acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and the one true God before the world and say, I will make him my God. And allow him to control your thoughts, your actions, and your heart. We invite you to do that this morning. To come forward, give him lordship of your life. Be baptized in his baptism and allow him to make you new from the inside out, starting with your heart. For the rest of us, and I've prayed that the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and opens our minds this morning. If you find any dust in your heart today that needs cleaned out by the blood of Jesus Christ, I ask that you would call on the Holy Spirit today to remove that from your heart so that you can remain pure in your thoughts and in your actions. I'm going to leave you with Psalms 51, verse 10. If you don't pay attention to any other verses I read this morning, pay attention to this one. And make this your prayer this morning as we sing Refiner's Fire this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. May that be all our prayers this morning. God create in me a clean heart. That's what I desire most. And give me the strength this week to guard it against anything the enemy or the world would throw at it that would make me any less of a servant for you, Father, that would deter me from being able to serve you and praise you the rest of this week. Would you please stand and let's make that commitment to God. If you mean to make a life-changing decision for God this morning, we invite you to do that as well. Let's sing the words of this song, and may them truly be a prayer from you to God this morning with a sincere heart.